Our reading is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, and can be found on your service sheet. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
I want to begin by telling you about a remarkable lady. She's a lady called Mary Jones. She was born in December 1784 into a relatively poor family. She lived in Wales. Now, Mary Jones became a Christian when she was 8 years old. And she'd learnt to read in schools organised by a man called Thomas Charles. He was a nearby preacher. And he had a passion for teaching children from poor families how to read. Now, Mary had no Bible of her own to read, so she used to visit a nearby farm. She would walk there 2 miles each way just to read a Bible. But as that carried on, unsurprisingly, her burning desire became to have a Bible of her own. However, there's a huge problem back in 1784. She had very little money, and there weren't very many to buy anyway. The nearest place that might be selling them was 25 miles away. So what did Mary Jones do? She saved money for 6 years so that she could afford to buy a Bible. And then one morning in 1800, 16 years old, she set out to buy her Bible. She walked 25 miles to get there through valleys, across streams, around mountains. She was in Wales. Eventually, she arrived at the home of Mr. Charles, the only man with Bibles for sale. The problem is the copies that Mr. Charles had already been sort of assigned or reserved for other people. She was distraught, she was heartbroken, and she started crying. Her despair touched Mr. Charles, who sold her one of the copies already promised to another. But that got Thomas Charles to thinking how others who want Bibles could get their hands on one. Ultimately, it led in 1804 to the Bible Society being established in London, where their aim was to help make the Bible more available around the world. Now, that story seems like it was from a long time ago, but it feels from a different world, doesn't it? The ease with which we have a Bible to these days is remarkable when we think about it, both in print, but also digitally on our phones and our laptops, on our tablets. It's very easy to get our hands on the Bible. No 25-mile walk involved. But the reason Mary Jones is a remarkable lady, because she demonstrates her hunger for God's word, the Bible. And causes us to ask, well, do we have the same hunger for God's word? It was 150 years later, we were praying for Her Majesty a little bit earlier on, but at her coronation, as part of the ceremony, she is given a Bible and told it is the most valuable thing this world affords. Now, why did they think that? Do we agree? Well, I hope our verses for today will remind us why the Bible is the most valuable thing this world affords. Three headings for us, and here's the first one. The Bible is God's word for us today. Do look down on your service sheets. Verse 16, all Scripture, that's all the Bible, is God-breathed. This is saying that the words we have written in our Bibles are spoken by God himself. It's from God's lips. That phrase, God-breathed, reminds us of the close connection between breath and speech. Just as our breath carries our speech out of our mouths so we can be heard, so God's breath carries his words from within his heart, inside himself, to the pages of our Bible so he can be heard. Now, certain voices carry with them a sense of gravitas, don't they? A certain quality that makes you sit up and want to listen to what they have to say. Whether it's Brian Blessed in Flash Gordon, James Earl Jones in The Lion King, or Dame Judi Dench in the Bond movies. They're voices that grab you. But as magnificent as their voices are, they're not a patch on God's voice in our Bibles. When we read the Bible, God's voice is heard. And no matter how familiar with that we might be, that is staggering, isn't it? The voice of our Creator written down so that we can listen. Well, how does it happen? Well, again, verse 16 helps us. Paul is not saying that the Bible scriptures are written by people who've been influenced by God. It is the words themselves that are God's words. That's his point. So whilst the Bible has many human writers, different human beings who sat down with a pen and parchment and wrote it down, behind it all, there is just one author, God himself. Now, that means that the Bible is not just another book. It's not just we come to church and think, oh, which book should I grab off the shelf today? Oh, the Bible seems appropriate. The Bible is special. It's God-breathed. It means it's very special, not just because it's the biggest selling book of all time, although it is. Not because more Bibles are sold or given away than every other book every year, although they are. And not because the whole Bible is available now in 700 languages and the New Testament, just the second half, in over 1,500 languages. That is all true. But the Bible is special because it is God speaking. It is God breathed. The words of the Creator to his creatures, the words of God Almighty to you and me. Now, two quick implications of this. Firstly, that means the Bible's true. God does not lie. God cannot lie. Therefore, if the Bible is God's words, then it is true. The Bible is God's truth. But because it's God's truth, it also means that it's authoritative. They are God's words written down. Not Andy's, not Piers, not any of yours. They're God's. And he is God and we are not. So what he says is authoritative. It's not up for debate in that sense. Now, for sure, some things are hard to understand. One of the great verses in the Bible is written by Peter, who says some of Paul's stuff, some of the New Testament stuff, is really hard to understand. And it can be, but the truth of what God said is not to be disputed. He is God. The Bible contains his words from his lips. God breathed. So if we don't like it sometimes, or we don't agree with it, that cannot change the truth of it. Martin Luther, one of the reformers, he warned against treating the Bible like a wax nose. Now, what did he mean? Well, actors in Martin Luther's day, they used to get some wax and they'd shape it to form a different nose, maybe a big hooked nose or a bigger nose or a funny shaped nose. And that would be part of their costume, part of their makeup, if you like. But Martin Luther's point was that the Bible's not a wax nose. It's not malleable. You can't shape it and mold it into what we think it should say. We can't rewrite it. If God has spoken in the Bible, then you or I are not in a position to change it. Nor, for that matter, is the Church of England. You may know that the Church of England has 39 articles. They're the articles of faith, sort of what the Church of England believes and stands for. Number 20 says this. It's in old language, but it's great language. The Church has the power to decree rites and ceremonies and authority in controversies of faith. So the Church can help through controversial things. But it goes on. Yet it is not lawful for the church to ordain anything that is contrary to God's word written. Neither may it so expound one place of scripture that it be repugnant to another. What it means is, look, if there's an authority situation, the church does not sit above the Bible. Actually, the Bible, God's word, sits above the church. So if it comes down to authority, if there's a disagreement, well, actually, it's God who is right. He has the authority. Now, all that being said, it may be that we still draw a distinction between what God says in the Bible and what God is saying to me personally. After all, the Bible was written such a long time ago. It's such an old book. So we might say, well, I agree with what God said then, for then. It was true then. It was authoritative then. But that was then, and this is now. Surely in 2021, we need to move on. We know more than what was then. But the thing is, our verse 16 again says that all scripture is breathed out by God, not was breathed out by God. It's just a little hint. We find it elsewhere in the Bible as well, that just as it was God's true and authoritative word when God first spoke it, so it is his true and authoritative word today. It doesn't go out of date. So the Bible is not just a record of what God said in the past, although it is that. It is also God's living word that he speaks afresh today. You may know Stephen in Acts chapter 4. He talks about the living oracles of God. That, he's talking about his Bible, but he's saying it's alive today. So if you and I want to hear God speak today, well, we open our Bibles. If we read what God says today, we hear God speak today. That's why the foundation here at Arborfield Church, in our teaching, in our preaching, in our decision making, is going to be the Bible. Not because we worship the Bible, but because we worship the God of the Bible, the God who speaks in the Bible. The Bible is God-breathed, and in it God is speaking to us today. That's the first thing. Second thing, the Bible is the cradle in which we find the Christ. This is a phrase based on how Martin Luther described the Bible. I find it really very helpful. Look with me now at verse 15. Paul writing to Timothy, "You've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." We're reminded that one of the best things here about the Bible is that without it, we would never understand that Jesus is the center of God's salvation plan. It's true that we can look at creation and it can tell us something of the awesome power and beauty of our Creator. Of course it can. But it cannot communicate to us our need for Christmas and Easter. I can't look at the sheep in the field next door and learn something of the holiness of God, or my rebellious nature, or the means of reconciliation between us and God through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't learn that from looking at a tree or a mountain, but I can when I read God's word. That's why the Bible is so precious. It's God's word for making people wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So whilst we might talk about a genre of the Bible as being different sorts of writing, historical narrative, letters, prophecy, poetry, in another sense, the whole of the Bible is a love letter because it is God telling us and demonstrating to us his great love for us. See, in the Bible, God tells us he created us, but we rebelled from him. Because he tells us that because he loves us and wants to understand our dilemma. He tells us of his plan to save us because he loves us and wants us to understand how he pursues us, the lengths he goes to save us and bring us into right relationship with him. It would be impossible for any of us to work that out ourselves without the Bible. The Bible makes us wise for salvation. John Wesley, the 18th century preacher, put it brilliantly. "I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safely on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this end, he came from heaven. He hath written it down in a book. Give me that book at any price. Give me the book of God." The Bible is precious because it's the cradle in which we find the Christ. Not just because the Bible teaches us about the way of salvation. It does do that, but it does more than that, as we will see. We're not to think that once I become a Christian, I put the Bible to one side to gather dust somewhere. On the contrary, it's good for us to be reminded again and again of God's love for us, God's grace to us in Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded of that because we can so easily forget it. But the Bible is valuable each and every day, not only from a salvation point of view, but also from a sanctification point of view. Let me explain what I mean by that. Thirdly and finally, the Bible is the foundation for our lives. That is to say, the Bible informs our belief and our behavior each and every day. So God's word, it doesn't only make us wise for salvation, but wise for godly living once we have been saved. It equips us in knowing how to live as followers of Jesus. Again, look with me, verse 16. "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." That is to say that as we read the Bible, we are equipped. If we're a Christian believer, we are equipped for how to live as followers of Jesus. Now, positively, that means that God's word is useful for teaching us the right way to think about God and to relate to God, informing, teaching what we believe about God. But it trains us also in the right ways of living before God. It trains our behavior. But that's also put negatively. The Bible is useful for correcting wrong ways of thinking about God in our belief. If you and I just sat in a room, we could imagine all sorts of different things about God. Some of them might be right, but some of them might be really wrong. But actually, the Bible helps us in correcting those wrong ways of thinking about God and also rebuking us for wrong ways of living before him, both our belief and our behavior. Positively teaching and training, but also negatively correcting and rebuking. That's what we're reminded of in verse 16. And that's really, really helpful, isn't it? We're not left in the dark with these things, but actually we're shown what that looks like in God's word. But it's not just a knowing what God says, it is a putting it into practice. Because our verse tells us then we're equipped, not for how to fix my bike or how to bake some bread, but how to meet life's challenges and respond to them in a way that glorifies God. Now that presents a challenge, doesn't it? Because I know, personally speaking, I'm very happy to accept God's word as his word, as true and authoritative, as long as I agree with it. There's a real battle going on when I don't. Not because it's hard to understand, but because I don't like what it says. I don't like what God says. And when I don't like what God says in the Bible, well, then I'm tempted to question the truth of it or the authority of it. Actually, what usually happens with me is I just remove that authority altogether and I place it somewhere else or in someone else, usually myself, actually. But what happens when I'm doing that? Well, when I do that, what I've done is I relegate the Bible from the driving seat of my life just to the passenger seat. It can make a useful travel companion as I go about my day and go about my week. But it doesn't determine the direction of travel of my life. But actually, that's what God has given it to us for. Now, Jesus warns against this in the parable of the two builders. Matthew 7, we'll know it quite well. The wise man, who's he? He's not only the one who hears Jesus' words, but puts them into practice. He's the one who's like built his house on the rock. Only his house stands. So the Christian isn't someone who knows their Bible. It's someone who lives it out because it's precious to us, because it's God's words for us. The Christian believer then is to receive God's word, delight in God's word, and put it into practice in all areas of our lives: family life, work life, school and college life, social life, church life. We are to listen to what God says about our possessions and our money, our sexuality and our relationships, our free time and our hobbies, our dreams and our futures. That's why the Bible is central to our Sunday gatherings and our midweek gatherings. It's why we encourage you to read the Bible every day, because it's God's word for us today. It's the cradle in which we find the Christ. It is the foundation for our Christian lives. God's word really is the most valuable thing this world affords. We're going to have a moment's quiet to think a bit more about that, and then a chance to respond, as it were, in the words of our next song, "How Firm a Foundation, You Saints of the Lord, Is Laid for Your Faith in His Excellent Word."